Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined with my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And wow, we are over the moon today because we just found out that orforglipron was FDA approved. It was apparently like the fastest ever a new molecule got FDA approval. And this is going to be for weight management. There's so much to talk about here because it is an oral medication. And it's only our second oral medication for weight management in the GLP-1 class. And what's very different about oral semaglutide or oral Wegovy is that it does not need to be taken in a special way. It can be taken with food, with other pills, with coffee, with all kinds of things, right? So Natalie, what do we think about this?
This is going to be so nice. I think that the it will allow people with overweight or obesity treat their disease and do it easily and incorporate it into their lifestyle. So it doesn't have to be taken at any given time with or without food. You just take it once a day. So I think that in and of itself will make a huge difference for people that have struggled with the challenges with oral semaglutide in the past.
Yeah, well, I think it's great, you know, to have multiple options. But what's so unique about this is that it's a small molecule, non-peptide. And so that is one of the ways they've been able to make this oral formulation that doesn't degrade too quickly and is able to have a very good therapeutic effect in the body. The reason why oral semaglutide needs to be taken only with up to 4 ounces of water and not with other tablets and not with food is because it is combined with an absorption enhancer called SNAC. And so if these special things are not done, it's just going to dissolve too quickly. So definitely this is going to be a little easier to take, certainly for people that do drink coffee when they first wake up or take other pills at the same time. The other thing, though, like in reflecting on this, that's really unique is that our previous GLP-1 drugs were all approved for type 2 diabetes first. And some of them, many of them are only for type 2 diabetes, like dulaglutide and exenatide. This is interesting. Because when you look at semaglutide and tirzepatide, those both, first they went for type 2 diabetes, then they went for the overweight obesity. And here we have
opposite. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Very much the opposite. Now they are studying it for type 2 diabetes as well, is my understanding. But the first approval is for the obesity. And so that also marks a very, you know, a very big change in how things have previously been approved.
It's very exciting. And now let's talk a little bit about the forms and the strengths, right? Just like other GLP-1s, this medication will be titrated monthly. We start at 0.8 milligrams for at least 4 weeks, and then we can titrate up as needed, 2.5 milligrams, 5.5 milligrams, 9 milligrams. Now this becomes interesting, 14.5 milligrams, and then 17.2 milligrams. So in other formulations, like tirzepatide, for example, it's a 2.5 milligram jump each time, where this isn't the same. So I think that's interesting. I also think that just like with levothyroxine, no matter what brand you get, whether you get branded levothyroxine, so like Synthroid or Unithroid, or whether you get generic, always 88 is a certain color dose, right? Always 100 micrograms is a certain dose. This medication is actually color-coded to the dose, which I think is really important because I can now say to someone, do you take the pink pill? Oh, you take this medication. Do you take the pink pill? Do you take the yellow pill? Is it oval? Is it right? So that way we can help identify. I think that really makes a difference when you're talking to someone, especially if you can't pull their last dosage from their medical record for whatever reason.
Yeah, no, that is a really good point. And it does take time to certainly to titrate the dosing. So that's important that there are different doses. We generally want to start with a lower dose. Although if people are coming from higher dose injectables, it'll be kind of interesting what
how we decide to go, right? Where are we going to go with that, right? We almost always don't go back all the way to zero, but sometimes we do, depending on how high the dose is. This is going to be a little bit of, this is art, not medicine sometimes, right? And medicine is art. And it's like, do I go all the way down? Do I want to lose the progress I've made? So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in real world data.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of that, yeah, I mean, the real world is always a little bit different than the clinical trials. This was studied in the ATTAIN clinical trial program for obesity versus the ACHIEVE is the clinical trial program for type 2 diabetes. And in the ATTAIN 1, they compared orforglipron to placebo. And on average, people that took orforglipron lost an average of 27.3 pounds, which was 12.4% of their body weight, compared to 2.2 pounds or 0.9% with placebo. So that, you know, we see pretty, you know, that's pretty robust weight loss of over 10% with an oral drug. Also, we now know what it's going to be called. So
yeah,
it's always fun. Like when tirzepatide said it was going to be called Mounjaro, that was like very exciting for me. I don't know, maybe because of like Kilimanjaro, the mountain, like it just, that's a really powerful name. So this is going to be called Foundayo. That's the name. So not quite as unique as like a weekly for Icodec, but still, you know, it's a strong name, right? It's a strong name. So that will be what it's called. And, you know, that's the efficacy that we see. Side effects are pretty similar to what we see with other GLP-1s. Even though it's an oral, there's still side effects. There's still going to be the warning about the medullary thyroid carcinoma because of the studies in rodents. But it'll be nice to have an oral option instead of, you know, injectable.
Absolutely. The other thing I think is very interesting is they've already set up a pregnancy exposure registry, which I think is a wonderful. Yeah, I don't know if you read or saw that yet, but there will be a pregnancy exposure registry for women who have taken Foundayo during pregnancy. The purpose, it's not FDA approved for this, you guys. I just want you to know that. But
yes, we
know sometimes people don't know they're pregnant right away or take it, you know, or don't know they're pregnant for a long time. So the purpose is to collect information about the health of the person with diabetes and the baby. And there is a 800 number already set up for that purpose. So I think that's important. I think that they also, well, it's important to know that they also mentioned the birth control, right? So if you take birth control pills by mouth, talk to your healthcare provider before you take Foundayo. Birth control pills may not work as well while taking it. So a backup method, especially during titration, is going to be recommended. So those are the two big ones that I found pregnancy-wise to call out. I'm just impressed that they're starting with a registry, right? A lot of people who are treated for overweight or obese struggle with pregnancy. And so this will be, you know, this will be interesting to follow long-term.
Yeah, I think the other interesting thing is the pricing. So they have announced,
talk about that. Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. So they have announced that they're planning to, we'll have multiple ways to get this. So there will be like a direct, you know, pay without your insurance. Starting dose would be $149
yes,
a month. So that's, you know, I think a lot of people are willing to pay that amount. Now, I'm not exactly sure as the dose goes up, you know, how it might go up. We see with other programs as dose escalates, often we might see higher prices. The other thing is there will be a copay card. So that brings it down to $25 for people that have commercial insurance. And then the other thing that they said is that for those on Medicare, they expect coverage by July and that it would be $50 per month if, you know, if they have coverage through their Medicare plan. So that, yeah, it's awesome.
Right. Beginning as soon as July 1st.
Yes.
It might be a little later, but it is soon as. And we're hoping for this, right? They did get a very quick turnaround in their FDA approval. And we need to keep our fingers crossed, right? As people age, overweight and obese becomes a challenge. And so having a medication like this available for that Medicare population that's easy to take is a wonderful thing, but it's all wonderful until no one can afford it. So
yeah,
making a $50 a month copay makes it affordable for a lot of people.
It does. A lot of times when I ask my patients, like, what are you willing to pay? What can you pay? 50 seems to be an amount that for some it is too much, but it seems to be an amount many are able to say, okay, I can do this. And, you know, the 149, I think many people are going to be willing to do that as well, or able, willing and able. So we are seeing like kind of a whole new model. I think a lot of things are, we're just, insurance has been challenging to say the least. And so a lot of these kind of direct programs where people can still get it at a lower affordable rate. I'm very excited. One of the things that's said in the press release is that fewer than one in 10 people who could benefit from a GLP-1 are getting it. I absolutely believe that when you think about the statistics of overweight and obesity, that 70% of Americans have overweight or obesity. So this has real potential to getting medications to the people that would benefit most from them and really improving the comorbidities associated with obesity and ultimately also quality of life, like functionality, being able to move more, do the things that you enjoy doing.
Right. I love it. I really do. Looking forward to it. And I do want to, right, I mean, kind of to close, remember that this has no cardiovascular benefit yet, right? There is no demonstrated, we should, you know, some of the other GLP-1s have cardiovascular risk reduction. And if this is brand new, and we are not going to get that for a little bit. So when you're making that decision with the person in front of you, this is going to be a big differentiator. But I'm thrilled that it's here. I'm thrilled that the cost, it's like been served in this wonderful package of cost, coverage, access, the things that are, and with data to support using it, right? That robust weight loss. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And thank you so much for bringing that up, because we cannot overstate the cardiovascular safety and efficacy. These drugs, it will be required to kind of show the cardiovascular safety. And we've seen with semaglutide how it's not just safe, it's highly effective, and it has the cardiovascular benefits, not just in type 2 diabetes, but also in people with obesity. And so it has that indication. Even the oral Wegovy, right, has the cardiovascular indication. And I think you bring up such an excellent point that if someone has established cardiovascular disease, then that, you know, that may be the deciding factor. You say, I'm going to go with the medication that's already demonstrated.
But I know, right, absolutely. As a clinician, I have to pick. I mean, could you ever live with yourself if you chose something different? No, right? Even though we hope that it comes one day, we'll never know until it does. This is what science is all about, is understanding and really waiting for that data to come. So,
right.
And especially out. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because it's a different molecule.
Exactly. That's it. We can't just jump.
Assume.
Yep. We can't just jump. So all exciting news, but we also have to hold back on just that, right? Like, we have to be careful as clinicians always.
Right. For sure. Well, this is very exciting.
Oh, wow.
More to come.
Right.
I'm sure we'll continue learning about this. But as for now, that wraps up this episode, and we thank you so much for tuning in to Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.